Without further ado, I would like to humbly invite, and we are honored to invite, our guest speaker for tonight, Sheikh Hashir Zakaria Musa from Tanzania, who will be speaking to the believers tonight about lessons we learn from the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let's invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasool Allah. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ومولاي يا أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا أبا عبد الله قد عاد حزني والبكاء وتألمي مذ عاد مذ أبصرت عيني هلال محرم مذ عاد مذ أبصرت عيني هلال محرم ولبست ثوب الحزن في مواسياً آل الرسول الأكرم بمأتم ثم انثنيت إلى الهلال مخاطباً بك يا هلال بك يا هلال هو ابن بنت محمد ولما جرى به كالعندم بك جسمه فوق الصعيد مقطعا أيوا حسينا والرأس شيد على القناة مقطعا وين أبناء الحسين لم يسلمي الحمد لله الذي رفع الغشاوة عن قلوب أهل الوداد وهداهم بنوره إلى طريق الفلاح والسداد وزكى نفوسهم عن الميل إلى الدنيا المؤدي إلى زيغ الاعتقاد وأحياهم بذكره حتى ظفروا بعز المعرفة ونيل المراد وكل ذلك بمتابعة حبيبه المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله المبعوث إلى كافة العباد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين الأكرمين الأمجاد صلى على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today is the third day or fourth day after the beginning of these days of Muharram, Muharram al-Haram. The days those Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we are living in sorrow. We are living in huzn. We are living unhappy in cries and removing all the happiness in their houses from their hearts and put the huzn and sorrow in front of them, remembering what's happening in the year of 61 Hijriya in Karbala. These are days that the follower of Ahlul Bayt should not be seen laughing, should not be seen enjoying living with happiness, but should use his time in remembering what happened in the Battle of Karbala, what happened to the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today my topic is, it has been introduced to you, it is the lessons that we learn from the uprising, from the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. My lecture tonight, I will divide it into two parts. The first part is from two verses from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 111-112, Surah At-Tawbah. After elaborating these verses, I will go to the topic to elaborate, and those verses will be my basic topic, and these points will be extracted from the same verses that I'm going to start with now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين صدق الله العلي العظيم. Allah says in these verses, إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم. Indeed, surely, certainly, Allah has purchased, has bought from believers their lives, their souls, their everything. Both from them, their lives and their properties. أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. What remained with humankind when you take his soul and belongings? اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. When you go to shop to buy something, you give money to buy a pen, to buy paper, to buy anything. So what you give money, you get something returned, you get good. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is buying from us, is buying our souls, our lives, is buying our belongings, our properties. What is he going to pay in return? What is the next change? Because now we go to shop, we call it bay al-mu'atat. We give money, we receive something. So what is God going to pay us in return if we give out our lives and all of what we possess? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ An exchange is that, for that they will have paradise. So there is nothing more valuable than paradise, because after this life of this world, there are only two places that human being will be, whether in paradise or in hell. So if you give, you sacrifice your life, your everything, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says will pay you, reward you, His paradise. So what should we do in order to get that paradise? In the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, دفاع عن الدين والدفاع عن الإمام الحسين كان دفاعا دمويا. In Imam's time, when he was summoning all those people who were surrounding him, wanted them to join him so that when they die in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, directly they go to paradise. But we didn't witness that day. We were not there. So how do we answer the call of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and how can we join those loyal companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this? So in those days, Allah says, يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Those believers who are selling their souls, their lives and properties to Allah, يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ This is what they're doing. They are doing this. They are selling their lives by entering the war better, by fighting against falsehood. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ They fight in the cause of Allah. So what happens when you enter the war? There are no the third option. Whether you kill or you be killed. فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ They kill and they are killed. They slay, they are slain. So if you enter the battle of Karbala, you won't find any hope that you will come out of that better alive. So it was well known and very clear for all companions that we are going to die. No one will survive. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا It's the true promise binding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. في التوراة in the Torah, والإنجيل in the Gospel, والقرآن in the Quran. So these promises in all of these three books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Torah was revealed to Musa. Injil revealed to Jesus, Isa, and Quran revealed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ So, who is a truer in his covenant than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this part, Allah wants to make sure that you don't remain with doubt in your heart that if I enter battle, will Allah reward me paradise? وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ So rejoice your transaction that you have contracted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وذلك الفوز العظيم. And that what is the great attainment. So this is the verse 111 in Surah At-Tawbah. But this verse should be elaborated, because if you call people here mu'mineen and all who claim to be Muslims in the world, that now it is jihad, we must stand to fight for the truth, for Islam, for the truth against falsehood, you will not find many of Muslims to join you to fight against that falsehood. So there are some qualities that should be elaborated in the next verse, that you should have it so that you can become the believer that is ready to sell his life and to sell his properties, to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next verse is elaborating who is the believer that is ready to do what we mentioned in the verse that I recited here recently, that ishtara minal mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum. They have qualities, they have qualifications that should be elaborated. Such believers, Allah says, at-ta'ibun, the repentant. We are all sinners. We do many mistakes in our lives. If we go to the Battle of Karbala, we find Hurr bin Yazid al-Rayahi. It's a live example that came to repent to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and ask him, Hal min tawba ya Mawlai? Repented, decided to leave satanic way and come to the guidance way, and fought with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and gained shahada in the Battle of Karbala. One of the leaders of Ismail al-Safawi went to Iraq, to Karbala, for ziyarah, and had a doubt that if this Hurr bin Yazid al-Rayahi having the same status like other matters, they went to his grave because he's in Mantiqatul Hurr. His people took him and buried him there. He's not buried with other shuhada in Karbala. He's in Mantiqatul Hurr. When they reached there, they removed his body, and because Imam Hussein tied his handkerchief on his head to stop that blood was coming from his head, and they buried him like that because he was shaheed. So this Ismail al-Safawi wanted to get blessings from this handkerchief of Imam Hussein, removed that, they said, the blood choked from his head like he was heated now and didn't stop with any handkerchief or anything. So till they returned that handkerchief for Imam Hussein, the blood stopped. Then from that time, commanded people to build the shrine of Hurr bin Yazid al-Rayahi, where we go to do ziyarah when we go to Iraq. So this one repented. What is the message with this action? The message we get that no matter how a sinner you are, still there is a door open for you to return to your Lord and to go to the guidance way and to leave the astray way. Those who decided to go out of this line of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and see some scholars that are not scholars and say what they say, we can say that they are just going astray. They can come back so that they stay in a lane and they can reach the goals that they are aiming to reach and be the good followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Leaving this one, in our personal lives, we do mistakes, many mistakes, we do sins. Sometimes we understand that we are committing sins, and sometimes we don't know that we committed sins. Imam al-Sadiq says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُحَاسِبْ نَفْسَهُ. It's not among us who doesn't count himself every night. If you count yourself and you find you did some sins, you repent for those sins, then you promise Allah that you will not do those sins again. And if you find that you did good the whole day, you will thank Allah for that and ask for guidance from Allah and make you be more good doer than how you were today. At-ta'ibun. So this is the first quality and the qualification that followers of Imam al-Hussein, companions of Imam al-Hussein, heard. And you can see in the night of Ashura how they were busy, everybody repenting, reciting Quran, worshipping, doing du'as, and such a thing. Al-Abidun, worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Hussein in his speeches says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ تَرَكُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ وَعَبَدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ وَحَرَّمُوا الْحَرَامَ وَحَرَّمُوا الْحَلَالَ وَحَلَّلُوا الْحَرَامَ وَاسْتَأْثَرُوا بِالْفَيْهِ. He's stating such a thing that people reached the time they were not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but worshipping human being, worshipping wealth, properties, worshipping material things. A really sheer, a really follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the message that we get from this being Abdullah, we will find that the really servant of Allah will not fear from anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hamidun, praisers, they praise Allah all the time. Remember Allah all the time. What does it mean to remember Allah and praise Allah? Prophet said, وَلَيْسَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أن تقول سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Said that dhikr is not to mention these names and these words. ولكن كلما فتح عليك باب حرام ذكرت الله عندها فتركته. But dhikrullah, the real dhikrullah, it is when the door of haram is open for you, there is no any obstacle, no embargo, nothing to block you. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your choice. You leave it because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is dhikrullah. And this one cannot be attained unless you purify your heart and your soul. Let's go together to Surah Al-A'la. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that the successful ones are the ones who purify themselves. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. The successful one, the one who purifies himself. وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. And remember the name of his Lord and praise. Remember the name of his Lord and praise. Let's go back to Surah At-Tawbah together. We reached Al-Hamidun. Praises of Allah. وذكر اسم ربه. Remember the name of his Lord. After this, Allah says, As-Sa'ihun. Those who travel in the cause of Allah. You travel from your city, from your country, to come to these holy cities to fetch knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So your travel is in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you travel in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you should know that your target and your goal, your noble goal, is to maintain, keep this traveling to stay special for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this traveling, Allah says, As-Sa'ihun. الراكعون الساجدون الراكعون الساجدون and those who bow and prostrate for Allah in prayer وذكر اسم ربه فصلى remember the name of his Lord and praise الراكعون الساجدون but why do we find it very difficult to pray? You find many people can even go with you till near the mosque and tells you that, you know, you go, you pray, you will find me out here waiting for you. You go, you pray, you come out, you find him, do nothing, doesn't do anything but waiting for you. What stops him is his soul. So he has to work with his soul. When the soul is purified, he will not find it very difficult. Because Allah says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ The problem is, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا But you prefer the life of this world. Here is everybody failed here. Amru. Umar ibn Sa'd failed here because he preferred the life of this world to the life of the hereafter. And said that I know killing Hussein alayhi salam is a hell that doesn't have curtain. I will enter the hell. But gave himself hope. I will kill Hussein and after that, I will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 year. For 1 year. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ So he gives himself hope that he can kill Imam Hussein and repent to Allah. And Allah is the most merciful, will forgive him and he will enter paradise. So this is how most of us and most of young men deceiving themselves that let me commit this sin, then I will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But doesn't ask himself, what if you are still committing or you finish, you don't have chance to return to Allah to repent, then you die, you pass away. So you'll be having aqibatu su'. So Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى And the life of the hereafter is better and abiding. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحْفِ الْأُولَى Surely this is in the earlier scriptures, صُحْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى The scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa. So when you come to the verse number 111, You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, 112, saying that, وَأَسْأَرَّاكِعُونَ السَّاجِدُونَ وَالْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ الْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Those who enjoin good, right, وَالنَّهُونَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ and forbade evil and wrongdoings. If you go back to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he announced his noble goal by saying that إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجُ أَشْرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا وَإِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ آمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ I want to enjoy in good and forbade evil. These were the main reason for the uprising of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and for his sacrifice that gave everything that he could give to defend the truth against falsehood of Umayyads. وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ And those who observe the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, وَعَطَّلُوا الْحُدُودَ The verse says, وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ And those who observe the limits set by Allah. In Umayyad era, there were no limits of Sharia. They could do everything they want to do. They could drink alcohol. They could do anything that you think is sin, and maybe you never thought about it, but they were doing it. It was free. So, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam rose seeking for information of the nation of his grandfather Muhammad, peace be upon him, and follow and act the traditions of his grandfather Muhammad and his father Ali bin Abi Talib. يقول وأسير بسيرة جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. That was the first part of my speech. Now I'm going to only number those lessons that we get from the uprising of Imam al-Husayn according to the time, because the time is too short for me. It was very interesting to elaborate more, but I'm going to number them and mention them, and I hope the other speakers who will come after me will elaborate these points, inshallah. The first lesson that we get from this noble revolution is never support injustice and oppression. The first lesson that we get, never support injustice and oppression. If we look around us, we see injustice has taken place of justice. Oppression is taking the whole world. If you look at around you, areas, if you look at these countries, Yemen, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, and everywhere in the world, you will find people are being oppressed and no one is ready to stand for them. Except little number, few number of mu'minin who can stand for them. And those who stand for those oppressed ones are the ones who understood well the meaning of revolution of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. Beside my seat here in Mimbar, the right side there is Imam Khomeini, and the left side there is a picture of Sayyid Al-Qaid Ali Khamenei. If you really want to have an example of those who understood well the lessons that we learn from the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, look at Imam Khomeini alayhi salam. And before I came to Mimbar, the MC said that Imam Khomeini said that keep the revolution of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam alive. There is famous saying from Imam al-Khomeini said, "Kullu ma indana min Ashura." Whatever we have here in Iran, whatever successful we reach, whatever development we could acquire, it is because we understood the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam and Ashura. And you will find the really example, when you go to those 8 years fight between Iran and Iraq, you find those families were giving out their children, four children, to save the country, to save the basira of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And those women call themselves that we are trying to imitate Ummul Banin. We are trying to imitate Rubab. We are trying to imitate Zainab. So, those teenagers, 16 years, going to the war, being trained 3 months and enter the war, they believed that we are going in the battle between oppressed one and the oppressor. They believe they are oppressed, so they have to fight for their rights. They believe there are people who are oppressed in this country, so they need to save them. They believed that it is their obligation for anyone who understood the movement of Imam al-Hussein to save oppressed one all over the world. And this is what they are doing here. You can find statistics in all of those areas. Hamas are being saved by the wilaya, Yemen. You find Syria. You find everywhere in the world, Myanmar. There is a night coming from this side to death, to those who are oppressed because they understood the meaning of uprising of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. This was lesson number one. So let's be an advocate of justice and freedom. Lesson number one. Lesson number two is always be with the truth and the truthful ones. If you look at Karbala, you will find it was a battle between truth and falsehood. Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions represented the truth, and Yazid and his allies, represented falsehood. So what should we do? We should always side the truth and be truthful one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen." O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with the truthful ones. Lesson number three, no price is too high in defense of truth. Look at Karbala, you find Imam Hussein gave everything that he could give to save the truth, which was Islam. And all companions who came with Imam al-Hussein knew that we give everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. So, the lesson we get here, when it comes to defend Islam, there is nothing, there is no an excuse to sacrifice everything, to sacrifice our souls, to sacrifice our properties, especially when Islam is at risk. So this is the lesson that we get from Imam al-Hussein. And Imam al-Hussein, كأنه يريد أن يهز أعماق قلوبنا. He says, ألا ترون إلى الحق لا يعمل به وإلى الباطل لا يتناهى عنه ليرغب المؤمن في لقاء الله محقا إني لا أرى الموت إلا سعادة والحياة مع الظالمين إلا برما. Don't you see that truth has been replaced by falsehood? This was not a question. This means whenever you see truth has been replaced by falsehood, it is obligation to say the truth to make sure that people will know the truth. لِيَرْغَبَ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ مُحِقًّا. So we should be prepared to sacrifice everything that we possess when it comes to defend religion and our Islam. Lesson number four, death with dignity. إِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً. I don't see death, but it is sa'ada. وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمَا. And to live with tyrants is like a living hell. It's humiliation. The message we get from this point is that we should not humiliate ourselves in front of anyone, anything, but we should always fight to keep our personalities and to keep our Islam. And if you don't have deen, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, in his speech to those who were surrounding him in that desert of Karbala, told them this, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينٌ وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. If you don't believe in any religion, وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ, and don't fear the resurrection day, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا, then be free in your world life, in your words. So you have to be free. So in this calling of Imam Hussein, called the whole humankind that whatever human believe in religion or doesn't have religion, believes in the hereafter or doesn't believe in the hereafter, he will join Imam Hussein in fighting for his freedom. So what the message we get here? So if you see anyone is being enslaved, is being oppressed, it is your obligation to save that person. Let's go to our souls, our personal lives. Sometimes you can be trying to look around you that who is enslaved, who doesn't have freedom, who doesn't have independence, but you can find yourself, you are enslaved. And who enslaved you? You enslaved yourself. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Allah says in the Holy Quran that someone can be slave of his own desire, slave of his own body, slave of his own soul. Your heart sets free your soul from being slave of your desires. Then if you are set free in you, then you can go out, start with your family, go to the neighboring houses, and go to the community around you, and then you go to the worldwide, setting free the worldwide. You can be free in worshiping, but you are not free in mind. You have to set yourself free in mind to have open mind. Lesson number 5, significance of enjoining goods and forbidding evils. There are many things to elaborate here, but we don't have time, but I think most of speakers will talk about this, enjoining goods and forbidding wrongs, evils. This was the noble goal that Imam Hussein alayhi salam fought for and could give everything, his life, his son, his infant son, 6 months, Aliul Asghar, give his brothers, give his Ali Akbar, and everything, and leave his family, Aitam, left them orphans, left Sukaina calling him Baba. Why didn't he choose to stay with his family and give place to Yazid? So this was the lesson that we get. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Uridu an amura bil ma'rufi wa anha anil munkari." And this enjoining good and forbidding evils, it is what makes this ummah to be خير أمة كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You are all scholars. You will go to read those verses and see the meaning of this. الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر needs more lectures, like 45 lectures or maybe 6 lectures or more than that. Then the lesson number 6, it was patience. If you look at Karbala, you will find patience was there. We should tolerate each other in this life. We should tolerate when we face difficulties, when we face problems, calamities, and any tragedy that we face in our lives. There is no any tragedy will reach the tragedy of Karbala. Patience. Seeing everybody being slaughtered, slain in front of him, but still could stand and fight for his Islam. Lesson number 7 and the last one, fidelity and promise keeping. Because we don't have time, I had more to say about this one. In our normal lives, we miss promising, promise keeping, and fidelity. And unfortunately, starts from your own soul and your family sometimes. You are not keeping promises. This is very important, promise keeping. And those 72 companions of Imam Hussein could not become lawyer, but because they purified themselves and they reached that time, they reached that stage. You can see when he told them that Muslim ibn Aqil was killed by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, those Arabi left Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam Hussein said that, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ ذَمَامٌ مِنِّي ذَمَامٌ. They left him. So Imam Hussein tested his companions three times. The first time was when he was leaving Mecca, told them, where we are going, no one will stay alive. No one will survive. Second, when Muslim was killed, he told them to leave, set them free, that those people are looking for me only. And the night of Ashura also told them, هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَ قَدْ غَشِيَكُمْ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ جَمَلًا فَإِنَّ الْقَوْمَ يَطْلُبُونِي إِنْ أَصَابُونِي لَمْ يَنْشَغِلُوا بِغَيْرِي أَوْ لَمْ يَلْتَفِتُوا بِغَيْرِي. We cannot say what they replied because there were many companions and everyone could say from inner bottom of heart, what does he feel to be with Imam Hussein and get his shahada? And Imam Hussein says, Inni la a'lam ashaban awfa wa khayran min ashabi. I don't know the companions who are loyal and better than my companions. Go to history, companions of the Prophet in Uhud. Go to history, companions of Prophet in Ahzab, those munafiqeen. Go to companions of Prophet Tabuk. Go to companions of Prophet after the demise of Prophet. Wallahi la karbala lawla saqifatuhum tilka al-far'u dhaka al-aslu antajahu. We see Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas saying, why should we do such a thing to leave you alone here? Why should we do such an act to leave after you? Never! May Allah forbid that day. So, lessons from Al-Imam al-Hussein are more, and we just ended up our topics with seven lessons, and I believe that speakers who will come after me will add more lessons to ours and will add more materials that will guide us and know the right way to follow in our age. There is no anyone who will lead us to the way of Imam al-Hussein except this man on my left side. If you really want to learn the way of Imam al-Hussein, look at Sayyid al-Qaid Ali al-Khamenei. You will know what Hussein aimed and what was the meaning of Karbala. And there is precious words I want to leave this member with. I say the battle of Karbala was between truth and falsehood. Truth and falsehood. I cannot open it. I leave it like this, and it has many meanings in our societies, Shia society, out of our societies. You should be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Till here, I think I took much of your time, and I thank you for attentive listening. And may Allah grant us to be amongst those who stand for truth, say truth, and fight back or fight falsehood in this world, so that we can join the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. And Nusratul Hussein is by saving his noble goals. And if you don't follow what Imam Hussein taught us, don't save the goals, but you go against it, it means you are killing Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam again and again. So let Imam Hussein live in our hearts. Let Imam Hussein live in our member, on our members. Let Imam Hussein live in our homes. Let Imam Hussein live in our children's heads. وآخر دعوانا للحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. When Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam was left alone in that Zayt of Karbala, looked around those ashabs being slaughtered, the gourds. Imam Hussein says, لِمَ أَدُعُوكُمْ فَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. Why do I call you and you don't listen? Why do I call you and you don't answer me? أَمَلِلْتُمْ نُصْرَتِي أَمْ لَا تَعُونَ. Did you get tired of supporting me and saving me from these tyrants? But I know that you are not alive again. You cannot stand. فدعاهم وهم فوق الرملاء سرعا ما بين شيخ وغلام نومكم قد طال فقوموا يا كرام وادفعوا عن حرم الله الطغاة. Say that you know you slept for long time. Oh my companions, wake up and save me from these tyrants. Was there anyone to answer Imam al-Hussein? No one could answer Imam al-Hussein. From then Imam al-Hussein say, هل من ناصر ينصرنا؟ Is there any savior who can save us? هل من مغيث يغيثنا؟ Is there any helper who can help us? No answer came from those people who were looking at Imam Hussein. But they came to surround him in that desert. They could not give him more time to talk because they thought he could convince people to join him. They started throwing stones to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Then Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam started fight with those people, but he was overpowered. He could not fight those 30,000 people against him. We were not in that Karbala to hear Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, هل من ناصر ينصرنا. We did not answer the call by that time, but we answered the call of Imam al-Hussein now. We are ready to save Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was in the last breath, He told that sheep, look at me. That sheep looked at him and said, it is true that you have doggy face. That prophet told me about you that you do this. And that Shem could not listen, became very angry, and used his sword to hit Imam Hussein 12 times, and then slaughtered Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.